You're listening to the Build Assets Online Podcast. Learn how you can build a diverse and sustainable income online from two brothers who actually do it. Now, here are your hosts, Mike and Joe.
Joe and Mike from Build Assets Online.
Yo, yo, yo. Joe and Mike here from Build Assets Online. How's it going? We're back live streaming. Got a big episode for you today. The top seven high ticket dropshipping products. And what does this mean by top? Now, these aren't going to be necessary. Well, I don't want to downsell the stream, but in this episode, we're going to be going over the seven most common products that people pick. This includes our students that come to us from other courses. We always see people picking these top seven products, and we're going to talk about whether or not these are good, bad, should you do them, should you not do them. I'm going to offer a lot of insight, so stay tuned. I think I'm very excited for this episode.
Yeah, Joe, and I would say these are good products. So it's not just ones that students pick. These are actually ones that some of them we've sold ourselves. And generally, they're good choices, but we'll get into it. I know we say top five here. Joe, you know, really put in the extra effort and did seven. So extra credit to you, Joe.
Yeah, I'll end up changing the stream thing later, but the name of the video later. Now, we do have something else that could potentially be very special about this episode. We are on a paid version of Google Meets, which means that there's a phone number that you can call to join in on the show if you want to ask a question. Now, we will be taking calls towards the end of the presentation, but I am going to copy the meeting. I'm going to copy the information now and paste it into the YouTube chat. That way, if you want to dial in, or maybe you can even join, I'll even give the Google meeting ID, Mike. How's that? So anyone can come join this call and, you know, ask a question live on stream. So I'm going to post that in the chat now. I'll read it out later so it makes more sense. But yeah, don't join yet because I'm not going to let you in. Just hold on until the end of the show. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Mike, any words before we get started?
I have no words.
All right, let's do it. Got my homemade cold brew here. Nothing beats this. I'll tell you that. I was actually
at least you're saving that $3.99 a day. Retire early one day.
Let me tell you something. You know, I was hanging out with a couple people. You know, we know from the neighborhood, and we were at like this. I don't know this thing. I don't know if it was like a little meeting area, and they sold cold brew or whatever and regular coffee. So I got cold brew. He got cold brew. And so naturally I was like, oh, you got the cold brew. And he's like, yeah, I like cold brew. And I was like, yeah, you know, I usually make it myself at home because it's too expensive. And he's like, yeah, I just spend the $5-6 every day getting it at Dunkin' Donuts. So, you know, that's
to each his own, yo. Look at me. Look at me. I spent the $2.50. Where am I at? I'm in my mom's basement.
All right. Without further ado, let's reveal the first product. I think my way is better, so save the money, folks. The first product.
All right, let's go.
The first product, massage tables. Now, I gotta say, Mike, you were the one that proposed that we add this one to the list. I thought this was more of a product that's more underground, if you get what I'm saying. Like, this is more of a hidden product, not as common as some of the other ones on the list. So why did you add this? What are your thoughts on this product?
Well, I was under the impression we were doing ones that were good. Well, so I wouldn't say this is underground. So, but listen, back in the day, this was the underground niche.
Yeah.
But now it's not so underground. I think it's actually very, very well known. May even be a bit saturated, Joe. But as with anything, it's all about the supplier. So if you can get a good supplier for this type of thing, then you're going to be, you know, raking in the dough. Because if you think about it, I mean, number one, it's kind of B2B and B2C. Mm-hmm. And for, you know, B2B sales, they're going to order, you know, someone sending up a massage Parler, whatever you call it, they're going to order multiple of these. And so, you know, you just kind of put up some of the basic ones, you know, like $7.99, $3.49, but there's definitely ones that are quite expensive as well. But I've seen some pretty big bulk orders for these. We know someone that used to do these. And yeah, so that's really it. Big B2B, B2C, bulk orders, pretty basic, not going to get, you know, not too complicated. And so that's why I wanted it.
Yeah, and actually, Mike, I just typed some stuff in on my phone, just curious to see what the organic rankings, the organic territory was like, or the organic terrain, I should say, was like for these types of products. So I typed in just a couple keywords, best massage tables for Reiki. And I feel like the search results didn't impress me. I feel like if you created a lot of good content around massage tables, there weren't really any other sites dedicated to this. So I definitely feel this is a site you can dedicate yourself to, even if you don't get in with these types of suppliers, with all the best suppliers in the long term. I think there's enough room, or I mean, there's a lot of room if you're going to focus on content for your long-term strategy to dominate this niche. But again, I don't think the viewers are going to do it, so I have no problem putting it out there. And to be honest, we're probably not going to do it either. So,
well, you know what happens whenever we do these videos, Joe?
What happens?
The wheels start turning. you're ready in the Google queries.
Yeah,
seeing some holes to fill. So, yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, we've always shied away from doing this topic because, you know, I think we didn't want to like give away anything for like our students or, you know, what have you. But at the end of the day, I don't think anyone's really going to do any of this stuff. And in my opinion, I think every niche has kind of been blown up already. So it doesn't matter. It hasn't stopped us. Like, I don't know. We've done so many stupid generic things over the years, and it's like, it's always worked out just by using the right strategies. So,
yeah. And I was thinking maybe we should do a reveal whether we have sold each product on the list or not. So I don't know if you want to do that, but I'll just say for these, we have not dabbled in this.
But I know people that do very well with this. Right. There are definitely dropshipping stores that do very well with this.
But we have not personally. So that said, without further ado, let's get to the second one. Saunas. What is there to say about saunas? You know, this is probably one of the most common ones we see. I feel this industry has been blown up a bit. But that said, because I've actually did the research, the SEO research on this fairly recently, I think there still is a lot of organic room with saunas. There are not a lot of good informational sites out there on saunas. So if you're going for a long-term SEO strategy, I don't think it's a bad idea. In fact, I think it's a good idea for you to, you know, maybe even create a sauna affiliate site and transition it to a dropshipping store in the long term once you get the traffic. Or you can do it in either way, a dropshipping store first or affiliate site first. But point is, I think there's a lot of room. Still.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the point we're going to keep coming back to here is that it's going to be all about the supplier, right? There's always going to be like really generic made in China sauna brands that they'll just sell to anyone, and those will be harder to sell because you're going to be competing more on price, even if there is MAP, mm-hmm. just because there's so many people, number one, vying for advertising, but calling around and trying to get deals and stuff like that. And then there will always be like super high-end exclusive sauna brands, and if you can get in with them, that will really change the game for you. So yeah, it's one that, again, so many people try to do, and it's funny because like, we've had students and known people and really seen all sides of the spectrum on this, because some people do really, really good with one supplier, and another person will have the same supplier and they're like, why can't I sell this? So we've talked about this before. You can give someone the same niche, give someone the same website, but at the end of the day, it's all going to be how they execute on it. So
did you use the word spectrum intentionally, since we have some full spectrum saunas on here?
No, I didn't think about that.
But yeah, like you said, execution is everything here. Same website, same suppliers. It's going to come down to, are you staffed for the live chats? Are you answering the live chats? Are you responsive on the phone? Are you following up with your leads? What are you doing long term for your SEO? All those things are the ads. How are you doing the ad? I mean, yeah, obviously the ads, but all those things are literally make or break. So
that's all I gotta say.
So should we do the big reveal, Mike? Have we sold saunas before?
Dun, 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 dun. Yes, we have sold them, and we've sold that site. So we are long separated from these devices, but yeah, back in the day it was pretty good for us.
It was hot, literally.
Yeah, underground.
I think were we the ones No, I'm not. We're reducing the things that we're doing.
Our non-compete is up.
We could, and we've I'm going to be honest. We obviously have discussed it numerous times, but I think we've ultimately decided we're reducing the amount of things we're doing. We're clearing the runway.
Yeah. It's like students all the time will ask us, you know, I think sometimes there's like a trust issue if people think we're going to like steal their niches or something. And it's like, number one, we've been doing this for like 6 years. Like we know about everything.
Yeah.
Number two, we don't have enough time to do that. Like it's really just a kind of newbie thinking that like someone is teaching a course just to steal your stuff. But you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. Cause isn't that what's his face does? The guy that we would, not David Vu. The guy that we used to talk about on the streams.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh my God. You know who I'm talking about, but okay.
I don't remember his name.
If you know what we're talking about, please send a message in the chat.
But that was low ticket dropshipping though. That was like,
Yeah.
And he was saying like racist things and stuff about like his students. I don't remember his name.
Yeah. My God. I can't remember his name. How the mighty have fallen. Okay. Let's move on.
All right. Bathroom vanities. This is one we see our students proposing this one a lot to us. I think it could be an interesting niche because there are so many different types, and thus I think so many different types of long tail and different keyword modifiers, different colors, different sizes, different ways to enter this niche. But I don't like this one that much because when you go into products that are like this deep into like home renovation, I feel like the customer service for first of all, vanities, I feel like I'll just reveal this up front. We have sold these before. I feel like they have a lot of shipping issues because of like their wood, they're big. Secondly, I feel like they, like it's hard with the customer service. Sometimes they're trying to time things very specifically for like a plumber to come in or like a home renovation to happen. And I feel that these run into difficulties with those types of things. But I do think that this could be a niche you want to enter because of all the different variations, the different keyword modifiers, especially if you want to go for an SEO strategy. So what do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I think I'm actually a little bit more bullish on this than you. My only problem is, like you said, with the logistics side of it, that you do have some damage issues that you can run into with these and some larger shipping costs. But historically, what I've seen is that, honestly, the bigger ones do better than the smaller ones, because with the smaller ones, they have this same chance of getting damaged, maybe even more of a chance. And the shipping cost is going to cut into the margin way more. So like that Style Selections Morriston 30-inch one, I wouldn't sell that. But the one next to it, the Home Decorators Collection Winlow, or the one a couple ones over, those usually work out better because there's more margin and the shipping cost increase isn't like totally proportional versus a smaller vanity. And I think this is one of the ones where, yeah, like this is super, super generic. Everyone has probably thought of this or tried to do it, but there will always be suppliers that you have not heard of. There will always be really more room to dig and find those underground type of suppliers. And yeah, like there's a lot of margin variability between suppliers. So some people can get a good brand, do really, really well. Other people get stuck, not doing well.
I already mentioned this, but I'm just looking at some of these photos that we have posted up here. And I could already see like just so many keyword modifiers come to mind, just doing roundup articles like white vanity with wood handles, or like gray vanity with marble top, or double sink vanity with blah, 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 blah. There's so many of these types of different vanities, and I feel like just tons of room to rank in Google if you create the right content, because I can guarantee like no one is targeting that specific kind of stuff. I can tell you that right now without even looking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny that everyone we go into, like even the most generic ones, no one's really taking it to that next level for domination. But for the love of God, please do not just make a vanity site.
Yeah.
Do ilovevanities.com.
Yeah. We've seen that
Dumbest
before.
Thing you can possibly do.
We've seen that before, and that's no good. All right, so let's move on. Patio heaters. Wow, look at that. BBQ Guys is selling patio heaters.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, I don't really have that much to say about this one. I don't know that much about this. I think this is more on the less common side, actually, but you propose that we put this on there. So what do you
think? Well, I think it is, again, something people come up with a lot of the time, but I believe that a lot more could be done to get in with some of these suppliers. I think people just scratch the surface of like some basic brands here, but there is a lot of money to be made in this niche. I think it's actually, for one that's more obvious, it's actually pretty hard to get into. But what I like about this is just number one, the price point, and it's so geared for bulk orders, because if you have just a restaurant or a regular backyard, they're oftentimes not going to want just one. They're going to need a whole setup. And so you have a good price point and you have the possibility for just big bulk orders, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Moving on, we have have we sold these before?
Yes,
we have. Okay.
And Joe, I gotta say, this has been some of our largest orders have come from this.
Did not know that, actually. Interesting.
Yeah, I think we've done some pretty big orders with like hotels and stuff, and just good margins. But had a nightmare supplier with this, so and that store has been sold. So right. Have at it.
Moving on. Electric mobility scooters. Again, this was one.
Oh, Joe. Speaking of that, someone chimed in. It was Kevin Zhang, Joe.
Oh, yeah, there you have it, Kevin Zhang. Yeah, he was the one though with the racist scandal.
Someone else said Trevor, but okay. Are we good? Looks like on the screen we're having some issues.
No, I fixed it. We're good. We're good.
Okay.
I did not expect this one to be on the list, Mike. Electric mobility scooter.
Well, Joe, maybe we had different ideas for what the topic was, because I was trying to pick good products.
I think we did pick good products.
We were trying to pick like the most popular products.
I think we did a good overlap, to be honest with you. I think we picked good products.
I agree.
And we picked popular products. So this one,
it always works out.
Exactly.
I, for one, am very intrigued by these little friggin' smart cars. What the? What is this?
I don't know. That's what comes up when you type in electric mobility scooter.
I've never seen that.
You never seen someone driving around in Walmart in a smart car? They just take the groceries.
Get the hell out of here.
They just take the groceries.
You haven't seen that.
I have. They just take the groceries. They put them directly in the trunk, and then they drive right out.
Shut your mouth. they shoplift.
No. It's like they have like the thing where it's like the automatic. Like it's the shop as you go, they just scan the barcode and then they just drive out. It's like the Amazon store. Walmart has that now.
Just being one of these like tipped over in ShopRite or something.
My car tipped over in ShopRite. Now I'm in debt.
My Q runner.
Dave, I need to buy a new Q runner. But should I take a HELOC on my house to do it?
HELOC. Okay. Okay, so what do you have to say about this here niche?
This was your thing. I mean, I don't know that much about it. The thing that gives me a little bit of hesitation is I don't know, like, do you need like a prescription for these? Like, how does this work? I don't know much about this.
So to skip to the end, we have not sold these, but I've certainly known people that have sold them. And I don't think you need a prescription. I think anyone could just buy them. So it's not that. I mean, I'm sure that can come into play like with Medicaid or something, but yeah, people will just buy these. Obviously, your audience is going to be a bit older most of the time. And so with that, I think comes two things. Number one, there will be less like price competition or like shopping around, in my opinion, because a lot of times older people just don't know how to use the internet. So it's not as feasible for them to like go on a bunch of sites and understand where they are. I mean, like, obviously nothing against old people, but the people have called us old people thinking like we're Walmart or something, you know?
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at is that with good advertising and just getting in front of people, you'll get sales with this.
Yeah.
Because they're not like as familiar enough with the internet to have doubts about like certain websites or something. Like, you have to build less trust is what I would say. But on the same note, you know, this customer base can be harder to deal with, especially if you have, you know, think about if a scooter arrives broken and now, you know, they can't do the things they want to do, that will result in just a lot more headache, and it's a lot more just worse for the customer. It's not like, you know, it's not like a paddleboard or something. Like, they just can't go paddleboarding that day. It's like this, they literally can't do anything without a working scooter. So, but I would say there's good margins in this, a lot of money in it, and a lot of brands too. I mean, one thing I've noticed, Joe, is that like through all these, I mean, some of these I haven't looked into in quite a while, I'm seeing new brands popping up.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of surprising to me, like the rate at which new brands appear in the market. And it gives me a lot of hope for the future.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you have the capital, you have the money, you know, you can even make your own scooter brand eventually.
Aaron says he uses these in Walmart.
See, I told you. I told you. All right. Well, honestly, this one's kind of boring to me. I don't really know much about this one, but
it's boring to you. There's a whole, it's a little mini car.
Well, all right. I'm just looking at, what is this site, Authority Scooter? I feel like that when you have a name like that, I feel like that's like internet marketer, like a sign of that.
Yeah.
You got the authority.
That's
and then, yeah. Well, we're not going to visit it right now, but hey, that just tells you that there might be something there to look into. Okay. Now this next one is probably, I feel like this is the top three list of on the top three list of the most common things we see. And that people talk about with dropshipping. Beer dispensers and tap kegerators.
Top three?
You don't think?
I would say like wine coolers would be top three. And this is kind of like a branch off of that.
Yeah.
But I think it's a little bit more underground.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Not anymore, but in any event, what you got to say, Joe?
I just remember back in the day, this was like many, many, many years ago. I went to your girlfriend's parents' house and they had like a bar area and they had like a wine cooler. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I don't know where we, I don't know if that's when this kind of niche appeared to me or if it was before then, but I just have a memory of that in my head.
Well, I think we were selling them at that time already.
Okay.
So
the cat's out of the bag.
I don't know. But I think kegerators, I wanted to put them over wine coolers because I hate wine coolers. I think it is really saturated and I'm not a fan of it. But so this is kind of like the same thing, right? It's like a fridge. It's like a smaller fridge, but with it's more niche down, right? So you know, less people to compete with, and it's more even B2B potential. So
So for me, I mean, the way I see executing a site like this, we talk a lot about making a more general store So, you know, you would sell this. You could even potentially sell like vanities on the same store. But for something like this, I feel to execute it well, and this is not the same with every product, but for this particular thing, I feel like since people have a lot of passion for beer, I feel like a beer brewing or some sort of thing like that could be a good theme for a site, and really going after, you know, that like targeting the relevant audience and covering everything there is to cover in regards to beer and alcohol and spirits and things like that, and providing a lot of education. Just because when I see something that I feel that people are passionate about, that's when I start thinking like, all right, maybe we should niche down a bit more.
Yeah. You keep going to the SEO potential things, and I think this is really one of the best ones, because it could be, you could really build a powerhouse out of something like that, combining like everything we teach, where you have the educational content that can rack up tons and tons of views. And you can make money, you know, at worst off like advertising for that, but it is still related to products that you can, like high ticket products that you could drop ship. Right. So it's kind of one of those rare things where like home brewing and that type of thing, there's probably massive search volumes for stuff like that. Whereas you're not going to get that type of massive search volume for like a vanity thing or like a sauna thing. Right. Like it's just not the type of, passionate community. So
yeah, and one thing I want, I'm just looking at these pictures here, you know, I feel like, so I'm looking at the second one, the Edge Star 24 inch wide outdoor thing, and it looks like it's kind of like an outdoor kitchen, and it's got like a tabletop and like a barbecue next to it. I feel like you can do something where you have like different packages that you sell, where you sell, someone could be trying to buy that whole thing. And so you're helping the person fit into their space, the counter, the outdoor countertop, the grill, all those kind of things they're going to use outside in the same area. You know, for maybe you get one or two sales like that a month, but those can be absolutely huge sales when you're combining all those things and really holding the customer's hand to complete the project or whatever they want to do.
Yeah. It's all about projects.
Yeah.
Getting it done.
Oops. All right. The last thing we have here is home bars. So I'm going to be honest, Mike. This is one of my least favorite ones, but as I'm looking at the screenshot,
the worst one.
It's the worst one, but I see, like, look at that vintage double barrel, half barrel bar. Like, I think, like, the other one, I'm seeing new stuff pop up that we haven't seen in a while. So I don't know if this niche is growing or what, but. I hate this niche too, but again, I think there is some SEO potential if you want to execute it well, but I don't know. We have sold these before. I don't remember the margins being very good, but I'm just looking at them and I'm looking at like the different modifiers that you can go after, like 65 inch bar with wine. I don't know. What are those, like wine holes where you put the wine bottles with wine bottles? So 65 inch bar with wine bottle storage. You know, I think there's probably tons of keywords like that you can go for, but yeah, I know we haven't been a big fan of this niche in the past, but I don't know, it could be worth exploring now.
Yeah, I think it's my least favorite because it's so competitive and it's just large wood. So it's like you have so much room for damage, and maybe Joe, you know, we didn't do enough to get good suppliers. I'm sure there are good suppliers out there in the grand scheme of this industry, but what it seems like is that everyone gets the same suppliers. They're not that great. The margins aren't that great, and then your store isn't that great. So, but you know, I could easily be proven wrong here, because as you said, I'm seeing brands I haven't really seen before. All it takes is one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really the theme here.
Aaron says large wood, LOL. That's what I was thinking.
I was hoping that would go over well. Fans. We do videos like this. Everyone comes in, they're chatting, they're having a good time. We can't make what we want. We gotta make what the people want, you know?
Yeah, so let's
niche this, niche that.
Let's open up the phone lines, because I wanna see if anyone's gonna call in or join the Google Meet. We tried this once before and it wasn't that efficient. Because I don't know, I was having people call like my Skype number, and it was a disaster. So, but I think we can execute it better this time. So here's how you call. You dial the number 1-319-540-8365, and then you're going to enter the PIN 675-402-428, and then the pound sign. I put that right in the chat. Alternatively, you can just click the Google Meet right in there, and in the chat I put it, Google Meet, and I can let you in, and then you can ask us a question live on air. So while we wait for that, why don't we get to some of the chats?
Sure thing. Do we know Paul L? Is that someone in the Discord?
I'm not sure, honestly.
Wait, he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
What are these people talking about? Danzy said, if any of these products are mine, I'm reporting this video. Haha. Yes, very funny, Dan. Paul L said, one of your students have the chiropractor table on Salt, made like $800K selling them. Yeah, it's not massage tables, but I'm not sure who you're referring to, but yes. Tulipan said, no, don't expose a secret niche. Yeah. Like I was saying before, it's just funny because it's like the stock mentality where people only want to are interested in buying stocks when they're going up, and then they don't buy it because it's going up, and then when it goes down and the time you should buy it, they're like, oh no, it's going down, I don't want to buy it. So it's kind of the same thing with niches, right? It's like, just because you talk about something out in the open, people are going to think like, oh, it's saturated now, I can never do it. Meanwhile, the person that just goes in and does it at any point is going to win in the end.
Yeah, and sticks with it. That's the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's the thing about opportunity, is that the mindset of like, I have to wait for the right time to jump in, is the worst mindset you could have about anything. Because the best opportunities come to those that are already deeply involved in whatever space that they're in. That's when the real opportunities arrive that the person on the outside can't even see. They just see the stupid surface level stuff and, oh, should I go in? Should I not go in? But if you're already deeply entrenched in something, when an opportunity comes up, number one, you're already in a much better position to take advantage of that. And number two, like I said, there's so many things going on behind the scenes that will become opportunities that other people will never know about.
Yeah. All right. So we actually have a call coming in. Hold on. Let me just rearrange the screens a little bit.
I'm scared, Joe.
Ronan O'Duffy, one of our students, actually. Wonder what he has to say. Let's find out. All right. Ronan, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Can you hear me all right?
You sound great,
yeah.
You're
live on air, Ronan.
Nice one. Yeah, so my question is not to do with products. It's to do with Google Ads, if that's all right.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, so it was to do with the learning phase and basically what you can do to not go into the learning phase. So what triggers it? Like how much of an increase in budget would trigger it, and whether changing like your bids, your max cost per click triggers it, and how much of like an impact the learning phase actually has on your sales.
For what type of campaign?
For a shopping campaign.
Well, I'd assume that we don't encounter that type of thing. So people listening, what he's referring to is on Google Ads, kind of like with Facebook ads sometimes, you set up a Facebook ad and it like goes through like a learning process, the AI does, where it tries to figure out the best place to show and all that. And so really what we teach is not to get into that. So if you're just doing like manual CPC bidding, then you should not encounter a learning phase.
Okay. So it only happens when you select like maximize clicks or something like that.
Yeah, which I would strongly recommend against.
Okay. Right. Right. I'm doing something wrong then. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Any other question? We had someone else trying to join, but they stopped maybe because they like said their username or whatever.
Don't have any other product questions. Oh no, I've got a meeting with you guys tomorrow, booked in for 30 minutes, but I think it was meant to be an hour or something. Just wanted to check that everything's okay.
We'll handle customer service issues off air, Ronan. Yes, you right. Should be good.
All right, cool.
Take it easy.
Fuck.
Right.
Oh, I almost spilled so much liquid on my computer. That would have been a disaster.
See, that's why you gotta go and you gotta buy the coffee, because you get a lid.
I only have Post-its to clean it. Clean it with this notebook.
All right. If no more callers are coming in, we'll keep going through chats here. Where were we? Paul said, reveal the site through the runway. If we're going to do a site reveal, it would be for our members only. We can't be giving out that type of value to people. Although people have publicly revealed our sites back in the day, maybe despite us, but we're still here. We're still standing. So AJ Beckner said, Joe is skeptical of Mike's product choices. You know, that's kind of how it goes. I was skeptical of his product choices. And so, you know, it worked out for some good discussion.
Nothing wrong with a little healthy skepticism.
Yeah.
You should be skeptical of everything. So they say.
Exactly. Said dope. Thank you, by the way, Mike. Thank you. Thank y'all. Bobby Macaho.biz said, like the video. You guys are the greatest. Thanks, man. Aaron Jarrett said, large wood, LOL. Tybree Richardson said, what is the best way to do supplier research to find these underground suppliers? Well, we have a video in the course of me doing just that. Just literally like over the shoulder, me like going to different websites and finding stuff. So, I mean, there's no other way to do it than to just go underground. Just go into the dark web, you know? Just really, the problem is that when people search something, whether it's, you know, they're doing dropship research or they're just Googling anything, you usually wind up clicking like the top 30% of what's on the page. All right. But think about, you know, you search something on Google, there's a lot of O's. There's many, many pages. So that's just something people need to consider. That's what I'll say. Abidi Taj said, bros, can you do product research for low ticket products? No. Do you guys have any new strategy for finding low key brands? Yeah, I think I'm going to make another video for that in the course, because it's still something that comes up. I thought I covered it pretty well in the course, but I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to do like 30 minutes of just finding as many like product types and suppliers as I can. And I want to see like how in depth I can go. I think it's pretty easy, Joe. Like, I've even seen you do this, just like find crazy products in like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I think I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah. So maybe we'll do like a supermarket sweep type video where it's like, you got 5 minutes to just find as many underground product types as you can. Can you say more about nightmare suppliers?
Well,
you know, what is there to say? I mean, they suck in one way or another, whether it's their communication, whether it's their products, whether it's their margins, whether it's their support for customers. It can come in many different forms, but at the end of the day, it's like, it's causing you a headache that's not worth the money that you're going to make.
I would say one of the worst things they could do is like, sometimes we've had this, is that they'll promise to like credit your account or something rather than like refunding you, like a return or whatever.
Accounting issues.
Yeah.
Accounting issues.
That could be an issue. I got to take a whiz real quick. Maybe.
Cheeky was.
There's my Dragon Ball Z blanket. Hold on.
I'm wearing a Dragon Ball Z hoodie right now, so there you go.
BRB.
All right, go get some napkins or something. All right. Yeah, so nightmare suppliers really can come in any form. We've had some really, really, really bad ones. Like, I'll just give you one instance. Basically, the supplier lied about things shipping, and it was always like, it was just really toxic. Like, they kept telling us stuff would ship, and then it turns out it didn't ship, and oh, you know, there's some excuse for it, and then you want a refund because the customer doesn't want to wait, and it's like they try like really, really, really shady stuff, and these people still exist and are still in business. And like at the end of the day, with that one supplier, we had to do like probably $20,000 worth of chargebacks against them because they're just a nightmare. Yeah, really, really crappy quality stuff, but it was like their product sold. And so it was really, it really felt like the devil had a hold on you, you know, you had to decide between making money and doing the right thing. So, yeah, that's what I have to say about that. Dan Z said, taking action is greater than speculating. Yes, absolutely. Because you can only speculate based on what your current knowledge level is. The only way to actually improve your knowledge level and get that experience is through taking action, Dan. So, good job. AJ Beckner again. We're talking about the nightmare suppliers. How to deal with them, or a niche where a lot of the suppliers you get for the beginning will be difficult. Well, I don't think there's any particular niche where, like, out the gate you're going to get bad suppliers. What I'm referring to with like a nightmare supplier is like a one out of a 50, one out of 100 type thing. Like I could say after, yeah, probably over 100 suppliers that we've onboarded, maybe only like two or three have been to the level where we had to just drop them. So it's not a usual thing. And yeah, how to deal with them. Like I said, if it's a nightmare supplier, you deal with them by just cutting them off and never talking to them again. Does living in Portugal severely lower your chances of succeeding? From Tiago Ruivo. Well, no, not at all, because you can have a business in America. Anyone can start a business in America. And so you're on the same playing ground as everyone if you choose to be. Or, you know, we see people in smaller European countries doing well because there's really no competition. So you're kind of at an advantage because you have two different countries, or I don't even know if you can do like the EU or add Spain and whatever. So you have more opportunity there. How's it going, Joe?
Good. I'm surprised no one is calling in. I was expecting more calls.
They're scared.
The phone lines are open, but we're not going to be here for much longer.
If you call now. Chris Badal said, hey, thanks for the content. I'm currently running shopping ads for custom made to order products. And what I'm wondering is, what metrics should I be concerned with to scale ads, or when to begin incorporating the text ads? So if it's a custom made to order product, is it, I'm going to assume you mean like you're making it, or it's not a well-known thing. Because if it is like a well-known brand, then it's kind of not okay. So there's two ways to go about it, right? If it's like something that's really custom and not necessarily doesn't necessarily have any demand, you should probably begin doing text ads right away, because it will be really, really difficult to get shopping ads and significant impressions and clicks for custom products. And so what I mean is, when you upload products, you have to go through the Google Merchant Center, and then the Google Merchant Center feeds your products into your shopping ads. And so if you don't have like SKUs and barcodes for these things, Google is going to have a really hard time placing them and putting trust in the products. And so you'll just get less impressions and clicks than if you're doing it a more traditional way. So with text ads, you can just cut right through that and just go towards the keywords you want. So that would be my recommendation. People are laughing at you dropping your your liquids. AJ Beckner said, for over-the-shoulder video on finding low-key brands, you should do that on office hours or something. Would be cool to be able to ask questions in context. Yeah, possibly. I think that's a good idea. Millionaire Oasis. I set up a US LLC, got bank account, good suppliers, website. Took around 3 months because of delays. Ran ads for 3 days, then Google ban strikes again. Support is non-responding. Very demotivating. Guess it's time to do everything all over again and hope the Emperor Google is merciful. So I don't know what constitutes an ads ban. That seems to be not a common thing. You don't really see that too much.
You see merchant center accounts banned temporarily. Suspended.
Yeah, but an ad ban is usually if you're really doing something not correct. So if you're in our Discord, then maybe give us some context on that. And we could see why. Because, yeah, that shouldn't be something that like just happens. There's usually a reason if you get a Google Ads ban.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, you're not starting over because you have the suppliers, you have the bank account, you have the LLC. And making a new website with like a new account, Google Ads account, literally can take just like an hour. Just copy and paste the theme you did, you know, change the logo or something. I don't know. And you're good. But yeah, you should really figure out why that happened before you go and make something new, because it'll probably just happen again. Who's your favorite DBZ character? Think your students would like to know. What are you going to say, Joe?
I mean, I haven't really watched DBZ in a while, but let's see. I don't know. That's hard for me. I don't know. You probably have a better answer.
Yeah. I would say Whis in the new stuff, or obviously, you know, I don't know. Vegeta's pretty good, but, well, people are chatting. Okay. Fire pits and tables, says Chris Bedal, the fancy pants ones. I hate those. I think it's like everyone tries to do them. People think like they're thinking of something unique when they do that, but it's kind of, it's all the same stuff. So.
Yeah, but I will say, I mean, maybe if he's doing custom ones and there's enough margin there.
He was saying, okay, I'm sorry, I forgot about, this is the guy with the custom products. My bad. I thought you were just like giving me a product to comment on. So then I'm assuming, is this your product or is it someone else's product? Then just let me know about that, because that'll change my answer. Millionaire Wasted says, I believe it was because I used a virtual credit card.
I don't know what that is, but can't you just plug in your bank account directly?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you know the reason, then just don't do that again, I guess.
Yeah.
Tybree, is it best to have a niche store, say for example the bathroom niche, and sell everything in the bathroom department, or a more broad general store selling pretty much anything and everything that's high ticket? We talk about this a lot. Something in the bathroom niche is not niche down. Yeah, I think we need to articulate this, Joe, because this confusion keeps happening. Selling just tubs is niche down. Selling something in the bathroom industry is niched up. Selling everything is too broad. You need to be in the middle.
Yeah, I would say, so what we were talking about before is we were talking about how, like, if we're going to do beer things, that I would think of as more niche down, with you can make a site around an actual niche because there's like a passion thing there. But for bathroom, I feel like there's no reason to, there's tons of stuff in the bathroom that you could do. But like, there's no reason not to do it like a general broad home site if you're going to do that route. That's how I feel about it. Or, I mean, okay, so Mike, you're saying if you're going to do only tubs, then that could be one angle, because
I'm saying don't do that.
No, I know you're saying don't do that. But what I'm saying is that, okay, it would be better to do only tubs than just bathrooms. But you can do the entire home. And the reason I say that is because if you have a site just dedicated to tubs, you can create a site solely focused on matching people with the tub that they need. Maybe you have some faucets in there too. But for a beginner, I feel there's no point in like going bathroom and not going all the way to home, if that makes sense.
I would actually disagree. For the beginner, doing just tubs is going to be too hard for them because they're pigeonholing themselves if they don't get it.
No, I'm not saying the beginner should do that. I'm just saying that from my perspective, if I'm not a beginner, and I had the tubs only angle is better than the bathroom only angle.
Okay. So this, if someone is asking this question, then they're probably a beginner, right? They just want to make sales. So that's how I'm approaching the question. But I agree. If you already know what you're doing and you know products that sell and you have good suppliers, then yes, doing a niche down store can be really good because you can be really hyper-focused with SEO. You can really be hyper-focused with your store's messaging and everything like that. But it's too expert level for the majority of people. And the problem is that people are typically advised to just do like one product type, like Tubbs.
Yeah.
The problem with going directly to home is, and I see this firsthand all the time, which is why I don't recommend it, is when people go to do ads, they are too, it's too easy for them to give up on one particular thing, right? So you have a dichotomy here. So if you're just doing Tubbs, either you could have great success because you're stuck with Tubbs and you have to find all the Tubbs suppliers. You have to do a really good job with your website and you're really able to take it to the next level and just take it as far as it can go for the Tubbs, right?
Okay.
If you're doing all home, there's too much incentive to bounce around. You call a couple Tubbs suppliers, you get rejections here, you get a couple suppliers. Usually it's the worst ones that are accepting you out the gate. And then you jump straight to gazebos or something.
Right.
And now you get the worst gazebo suppliers. And now you're like, oh, well, your gazebos isn't working because you're running these ads for the worst suppliers. Oh, I'm going to jump to, I don't know, slides. What happens is people bounce around too much. And it makes your ads, it makes it a lot harder to run ads. So with doing kind of the Goldilocks in the middle approach, if you say, okay, I'm going to pick 2 to 4 product types. I'm going to create a store that can fit that under one umbrella. So within the bathroom niche, you could have like vanities, tubs, mirrors, toilets, right? So now you have a smaller subset of products, but you still have a huge supplier pool to go after, or you can get off the ground and get running. And then once one product, say tubs, begins to like, they're performing better than the vanities, the mirrors, the toilets. Okay, I'm going to dive more into getting more tub suppliers.
Okay.
Right. So you can get the best of both worlds where you have room to expand, say if like one product type isn't good, but you're more focused in so that you'll do a better job. You're not as prone to like bounce around to a bunch of unrelated things.
I got you. So it's almost like a mental thing.
But I also think with ads, it does make a difference because it's just like starting out, you have a $20 budget per day and it's like you have such unrelated product types.
Yeah.
It makes it really, really difficult to decide where you want to go with that money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Like I see a lot of people misconstruing what we say and trying to do something too generic, which can work. But I would rather see someone be in the middle, and then you could just like, if you're in the middle, you're doing a bathroom store, there's no reason why you can't get your ad spend up to $1,000 a day just from products within that small kind of subset.
Yeah, I mean, you're also taking on a lot at once, obviously. You know, if you want to take on a manageable amount.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to work your way up. Like, again, people want to be in every industry, but then they only want to spend $20 a day. And so they're screwed. They wind up spending like $5 a day, $3 a day on Tubbs altogether.
Yeah.
And it's never going to work out in the timeline you want it to work out, in the magnitude you want it to work out. So that's why you just need to not be totally niched down into one product, but the next level above that.
Right.
Okay. So I see Waylon says, what about just a sink store? He's trolling us. He knows we love that sink store.
Again, but that sink store was good because of all the modifiers that you can go after. All the that guy obviously executed on a very high level.
Yeah, like a beginner would never be able to do that. So I'd rather see a beginner just have like a bathroom store where they sell the sinks, they sell the vanities, they sell the tubs. All of a sudden, you know, sinks start taking off for them. They get a bunch of suppliers. But there's nothing wrong with making a totally new store at that point just for sinks and now really giving more of your time into it now that it's proven itself. So you don't want to give too much of your time to something that hasn't proven itself, especially if you don't exactly know what you're doing. Like, someone could just pick toilets and they're going to be toiletking.com but it might not work out because it could be a competitive industry.
Let me throw something out there since you said the word king. There is bidetking.com.
Oh, of course.
I don't know exactly how this site has been around for a long time, this bidetking.com. And if you want to see an example of like a really, really, really well-executed website, even though the products themselves, I mean, they're not, a lot of them are not that expensive, you know, it's not really a niche that I would want to put my best effort into. However, I feel that bidetking.com, they executed it flawlessly. And they have, you know, they have a whole YouTube channel going over the different bidets and how they work and all that kind of thing. So I don't know. Do you have anything to say on that, Mike? Because I feel it's like a prime, like a really fantastic example of how you can execute a small industry site. Like,
yeah, really I well. Just don't think someone that's asking us like what niche they should go in is going to be able to go and make Bidet King.
No, but I do think it's important to know like what it looks like, what it looks 100%. Like to do it well. And then you can, you know, kind of take things and apply them to your situation. But it's good to have a vision of what like the final thing.
Yeah, if you're, that's expert level, like end game stuff. Yeah. But the average person is going to be better suited to getting to $100,000 a month doing like the niche up approach. It's just there's more room. It's easier, barrier to entry. And again, it's like you're able to test different products and maybe you find that one thing that you can go and you can create the next Bidet King, whatever, what have you. But I mean, Joe, look, Barbecue Guys is a counterexample. Barbecue Guys would be like exactly what I'm talking about, where it's not, they don't just sell barbecue grills, right? They sell they sell the whole outdoor grilling experience, right? They got the heaters, they got the outdoor kitchen, they got the barbecues, they got, you know, whatever. And so that they've taken that to the highest level as well. And that's a billion-dollar company, right? Or 100 million or something.
Yeah.
A lot of commas.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but I just think that it's easier to take on something like Bidet King than Barbecue Guys. For I mean, it depends where you want to go with it, but like sitting from my home office, I think we could easily execute Bidet King. I don't think we can execute Barbecue Guys just because there's so much to it, if that makes sense. There's so many more products. You know, they're really, I really hate this kind of marketing, but they're really selling a lifestyle. The lifestyle is the brand. I hate that. Anyway, sorry.
I have to look into that and see like what they're doing that we couldn't do with Barbecue Guys versus Bidet King.
I think I just encompassed it. They're selling a lifestyle and I feel like
through what medium?
They have like a whole,
like what are they doing to sell the lifestyle?
Okay. Like if you look at their,
Bidet King isn't doing.
If you look at their, it's all about like grilling and different types of grills and like outdoors and their Instagram, they got recipes and all this kind of stuff. But if you just look at Bidet King, it's just like, this is the bidet. This is how it works. You want this kind of bidet for this reason, et cetera, et cetera.
It's all a lifestyle.
You know what? I'll tell you exactly what the difference is. If you look at Barbecue Guys, if you look at their website, and then you look at the Bidet King website, there's like people on the Barbecue Guys website. You don't see a single person on the Bidet King website or on the Bidet King.
Okay.
The Bidet King YouTube channel.
Okay, so you're saying the difference is the people?
Yeah. It's like they're selling a lifestyle. It's not this. They're not just selling a grill. They're selling like – I can go deep into this because this is the type of marketing that like I hate. I feel like it
– maybe we should do another video, Joe. Barbecue Guys versus Bidet King.
We should. What's the better dropshipping store? And we could – I mean there's a lot of research we could do for that as well. I feel like – I don't really know the full history of either one of them, but – I feel like it would definitely be interesting.
I think you could do a Barbecue Guys, like you could execute on that from home, sitting on your ass without having to show your face.
You can, but I feel like
you may not have like a flashy Instagram. I'm not saying you have to do exactly what they're doing.
What
I'm saying you could achieve a high level of success through that approach.
Right.
Versus just bidets.
But what I'm saying is that from a human psychology perspective, you're not going to execute it.
Someone with intimacy issues.
What?
I don't even know what that means.
You're not going to
reeling in the dads of the world. Joe has intimacy issues.
You're not going to execute. The execution on Bidet King is very straightforward. You just show the bidets and what they do. For barbecue guys, it's different. Like, there's more advanced levels to the marketing, and that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Like, I think the viewers get it. I don't care.
In-depth discussion.
Yeah.
You watch Taste Buds, Joe?
What is that podcast
with Sal Vulcano and
sometimes. No, I haven't seen too many episodes of it.
It's like the argue foods. Like,
yeah. Like, I know what did it. What it
we,
is?
We should do that. We'll take different websites and we'll argue it out.
I think that's a good idea. Actually, we should, as long as people join, because unless we got to put drop shipping in the title.
Dropship wars.
Yeah. You did it, Mike.
There you go. I want to get to a thing I saw pop up in the chat here that I wanted to respond to.
Dan Z writes, Bidet King versus BBQ Guys versus Bao, the Triple B showdown.
where the hell was it? Okay, so Tybree, who sparked that initial discussion, said that made a lot of sense. I currently have a home store with two suppliers secured with low competition, just haven't run ads yet. Should I just scratch the site and make a department store? And to that I'd say, maybe you did not understand what we were saying. don't scratch your site. Just don't try to get every single supplier under the home umbrella. Just stick to an area. You could keep your site and you can expand on it later if you want, and then you could, you know, have a bigger site. But the problem is that people jump around too much when they make like these huge broad stores, and that's where they run into issues. So no one cares what your domain name is, really, if it's not like if your name is Bidet King and you're selling like patio heaters or something, maybe that's like that's an issue. But if you have like a home store name and you only have a select group of products, you know, your 2 to 4 product types, then no one's going to care. So keep your site, keep those suppliers, but just stick within a tighter niche, a set of niches for now.
I didn't know websites could get itchy.
What?
I didn't know websites can get itchy.
What does that mean?
He said, what did I say? He said, should I scratch my site?
Jeez. Okay. People were also saying, I heard Wayfair say something about, if you're not number one in your industry, you're screwed. Is that true? No. Wayfair doesn't know what they're talking about. You're a little bit blurry, Joe.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. There we go.
But we've got a little bit over time here. You don't have to be number one in your industry or number two to make sales. Like, you could have a store that literally spends like $50 a day. You do, you know, $40,000 a month in sales and you're chilling. You know, it's paying your rent, it's paying for your lifestyle. And like, you're not number one in anything, but you're taking it ease and you're having an enjoyable life. So
I don't know who coined this term, but there's this phrase rather, but it goes, mo money, mo problems.
Agreed.
The more overhead you have, like, you know, you're hiring your barbecue king, you're hiring all these people. Oh, wait, barbecue guys. You're hiring all these models, you're doing all these photo shoots, doing the lifestyle marketing. How many sales per month do you need to justify that? Whereas if I'm sitting at home and I sell 2 expensive grills a month, I could be living a very full life on that, depending on my goals or whatever.
Yeah, you know, we interviewed our friend Raz a while ago, who, you know, still has a store, still does well. And, you know, we had someone like one of Raz's friends was like asking me about like what to do. Like, is this saturated? Is that saturated? I was like, look at Raz. He doesn't do anything all day. He just rides his bike around and makes films. Like, he probably hasn't touched his ads in like a year. Mm-hmm. And he's still making money. So I, you really don't have to be number one. You just have to get enough customers in, have a basic website, have good suppliers with good margins. And really, again, you know, the price point and margin ratio to like lifestyle costs is pretty good, right? Like you can make one or two sales that can pay your rent or pay your mortgage if you're really doing this right. So it's just about what you want.
Yeah.
So should we call it a day?
Yeah, I guess we can call it a day. This guy asks, are we still, Ashton, are you guys still doing the course? Yeah, you can go to buildassetsonline.com/playbook, or you go to our website, Build Assets Online, click Elite Fleet Plus at the top. That's how you can check it out.
Absolutely. And yeah, so we'll have to do another episode getting more into this, and we could do probably a whole series like talking about comparing different sites. So I think that would be a fun little way to keep engaged and give the people what they want.
Yeah, because I think part of the reason why we don't hop on the stream more often is because I feel like it's a struggle to come up with topics that we want to talk about, but also that people want to see. I feel like that's the biggest challenge, is that, you know, we do like a Dave Ramsey episode and I have a lot of fun with it, but then like no one watches it. So
yeah.
But I think the Dropship Wars concept could be a game changer, Mike. We could be bringing Build Assets Online back, literally.
Never left. But all right. So where can people find us, Joe? People don't even know we're still doing the course.
Buildassetsonline.com/playbook. Go sign out, get our free web class, and yeah, maybe we'll see you on the inside.
Thank you guys. And as always, take it easy.
Thanks for listening to the Build Assets Online podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, don't forget, subscribe, share, and leave us a rating on whatever platform you might be listening from. And if you're ready to learn how to build your own online business portfolio, start now by visiting buildassetsonline.com/playbook. We'll see you in the next episode.